Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to RD People Health and Wellbeing conference call to discuss its 3Q18 results. The audio of this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.rd.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will be able to listen the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero to reach an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the Safe Harbor of Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on beliefs and assumptions of RD management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depends on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of RD and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcílio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now, I will turn the conference over to Mr. Marcílio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the presentation of results of third quarter 2018, RD. As always, Eugênio will present the slides of the results, and before the Q&A, I would like to stress a little bit about the market and the results also, and introduce our new strategic plan. Eugênio, please.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the RD Brasil 3Q18 conference call. Thank you all for attending. I'd like to start by acknowledging that this was a challenging quarter for us, a quarter that was affected by a loss of operating leverage in the first place, but also to some extent by a huge comp of the 3Q17, when we had a peak both in terms of mature store sales and expense dilution. We ended the period with 1,768 stores. We opened 64 new stores and closed another four stores in the quarter. Our gross revenues totaled 3.9 billion, 10.2% consolidated growth with 0.8% for same-store sales in retailing. It's important to mention that last year, at the same quarter, our mature stores had grown 3.5%, which was much higher than both the previous and the sequential quarter. Our gross margin totaled 28.3%, a 20 basis points pressure, which comes from 4Bio mostly. We gained 10 basis points of retail margin, but we lost 30 basis points from the 4Bio mix effect. Our EBITDA reached 295 million, 7.5% of margin, and an 80 basis points pressure. Again, we had same quarter last year, a 40 basis points lower expense number than the previous quarter. Again, this is the effect of the comp base. Our net income totaled 131 million, 3.3% of net margin, with a neutral cash flow, both in terms of total and in terms of free cash flow. On page four of these, we ended the period with 1,768 stores. We opened 64 new stores and closed four stores. Over the last 12 months, we have already opened 220 stores. We are reiterating the guidance of 240 new stores, both for this year as well as for 2019. By the end of the quarter, more than 36% of our stores were still under the process of maturation. On page five, we can discuss some more details in terms of our growth strategy. So we ended the, of the 1,768 stores, we ended the period, 802 were Riot stores, while 943 were Drogasil stores. I'd like to highlight the presence that we have already built in the northeast and northern regions in Brazil, where we have more than 200 stores already there. It's important to mention our entry in Pará, which increased our market to a total of 22 states in Brazil. By the end of the quarter, we had 9 stores in Pará. Today, we already have 15 stores already in operation, which are located in 6 different cities in Pará. We project that by year end, we'll have 20 stores there, and over next year, we'll exceed 30 stores on that market. We believe there's a huge gap in the market that was left by Big Ben, which was the long-term market leader there, and we want to fill that void. We think the opportunity is huge. So behind all this growth in the north and northeast regions of Brazil that I just highlighted, we have a very clear strategy of decentralization of the growth. So if you look at the table below here in the chart, in the beginning of 2016, roughly two-thirds of our growth was in the state of São Paulo. If you look in this last quarter, only a third of the total growth took place in São Paulo. If we consider the city of São Paulo and only A and B class neighborhoods, which is really the regions where we are the strongest in terms of market share, new stores in this AB region of São Paulo have represented less than 10% of the total growth. So what we are doing here is we are really leveraging the national growth platform that we have created over the years. This is something very unique about us. We're the only player in Brazil to have this national growth platform available for us. We're not the only player with a national presence. There is a player that has even more space than us. But if we define a national player like one who make money on a consistent basis on each market and who has similar expected returns in every market, when we invest, we are the only national player in Brazil. All our competitors, they are strong in their native markets, but as they grow to new markets, they face tremendous entry barriers, and the performance of the stores becomes very different from the native regions. And obviously, the margin will follow suit. So this is something very unique about us. We already have, by the end of the year, half our revenues happening outside of São Paulo. So what will sustain our growth in the years coming forward is this national presence. We have the right to open to 40 stores because of this reach we built in Brazil. None of our competitors can open nearly this many stores because they only have a small number of markets where they make money. Looking here to the right in terms of market share, we gained national market share, so we reached 12% of market share, a 30 bps gain. In São Paulo, we lost 50 bps of market share in terms of revenues, but what's very important is that if we look at the share in terms of units sold, our share has remained flat. So, as you know, we have invested very significantly in pricing, especially in generics, and we already see the volumes moving our market share. Obviously, because the prices are much lower, in terms of revenues, the share gain, the share stability doesn't appear, but in terms of units, this is already taking place. And then we gain share in most of the markets where we operate. So, as I mentioned before, our consolidated growth totals 10% in the quarter, of which around 9% took place in retailing, and Fobio grew north of 40%. And this is 40% on top of 50% same quarter last year, on top of 100% the previous year. So Fobio was selling 130 million when we bought the company, the year before we bought the company, and there's a good likelihood that we could reach 1 billion next year. When you look at the product mix, obviously the front shop has been the highlight. So HPC has grown 10.4%. It gained 30 bps on the mix. OTC was really the highlight with 13% growth. It gained 60 bps on the mix. But it's important to mention that there's a switch happening in the market from OTC to, from brand to OTC, which is really boosting this OTC growth. So the switch amounted 40 dips more for OTC in the mix and less for brand in the mix. So if you discard the switch, we gain 20 bips on OTC. And when we look at branded, the number without the switch would have been 44.5. So it's only 30 bips below what it was on the previous quarter last year. Obviously, this low growth of brand is heavily affected by the switch. So if we take out the switch effect, branded is growing closer to the average of the company. Page 7, here we can talk more about our comps. So we did, again, 10% consolidated growth with minus 3.2 for the mature stores. First, there is a calendar effect of 30 bips. It's not that much, but it has some effect. But the main point here is not a sequential month-on-month deceleration. We're not seeing that. What happened is that we're comparing to a very strong 3Q17 when mature stores grew 3.5%. This is 1.5 more than what we had seen on the second Q17 and almost 3% more than what we saw on the fourth Q17. So it's very clear that there was a peak in terms of revenues that also generated a very strong expense dilution. But this revenue peak is affecting us. What I like to highlight here is that when we look at October figures, what we see is our mature store comps getting back to 1Q and 2Q levels. So we don't have a sequential deceleration taking place. This is a comp-based effect. So obviously, the 4Q won't be as high as we want it to be, not yet, but it's back to the 1Q and 2Q levels. So I would say we have stabilized our growth, and from now on, we want to start ascending quarter after quarter after quarter. This low growth, regardless if it's minus 3 or minus 1, it's really driven by a price erosion in generic. So this is something that happened at large in the market, but we are investing in prices way more than what the market invests. And this is part of our strategy. I'll talk more about that. But the great thing is that this is driving, this is starting to drive volume growth. Very high volume growth in generics, and overall volume growth is also starting to appear. And this is the basis for growth normalization, probably in the second half of next year, when the price base becomes comparable. Before the price base becomes comparable, the erosion makes it impossible for us to get back to historical growth levels. Here on the next page, we can talk about margin, gross margins and cash cycle. So we record 28.3% of gross margins on a consolidated basis. This is 20 bps below 3Q17. But when we separate retail from 4Bio, we gain 10 bps of retail gross margin despite the huge investment we have done in pricing. So we had a price initiative on the front shop that is helping us gain some money to invest in pharmaceuticals. We have improved our buying terms. We have done opportunity purchases. So all in all, despite a big price investment, our retail margin went up. But because 4Bio is growing 40% a year and 4Bio carries a lower margin, we have a minus 30 bps effect on the consolidated gross margin. When we look at the cash cycle, we see a 5 days pressure, and we have to break down part of that is coming from receivables. So we have two more days of receivables versus last year. And what happened is that the quarter ended on a weekend. And when quarter ends on a weekend, our collection gets postponed to the next Monday. So obviously, our accounts receivable become bigger than otherwise. I have been saying this every quarter this year, and at some point I decided to check if it was indeed true, and it is. Every quarter this year so far has ended on a weekend. So it's a bad coincidence, but the good thing is that when we get back to a quarter end on a weekday, that should be about today improved 1.5 to today improved. Obviously, credit card growth has also some effect here, but the bulk here is really the calendar effect. Then when you look at inventories, less accounts payable, and we really look at the spread between both, because we do a lot of opportunity buys that are financed by our suppliers, here we have a three-day cash cycle deterioration. This is related, first and foremost, because we are losing operating leverage, and this affects inventory efficiency, but also we have been very aggressive in terms of opportunity buying. Generally, it's a self-funded strategy, but sometimes we have opportunities that we have to invest working capital, but they create enough volume, that enough value that justifies it. So we have done it, and obviously it's a bigger working capital now than it was before, but I think the number will get better as we go. On page 9, talking about selling expenses and G&A also. So total expenses was 20.8% in the quarter. If you look on a sequential basis for Q17 to 3Q18, this is a flat margin. When we compare to the 3Q17, that's a different story because, as I mentioned, we had a very strong comp base, and expense was probably the lowest we have seen in a very long time in the company. So half the pressure that we see has to do with losing operating leverage because of lower growth. The other half has to do not with a problem in the quarter, but with an extremely strong quarter in the 3Q17. On page 10, then we summarize on the EBITDA. We lost 80 bps of EBITDA, and again, it's the same story. Pretty much half has to do with losing operating leverage, while the other half has to do with the strength of the 3Q17. The retail EBITDA margin was 7.8. So we see that S4Bio becomes a bigger part of our revenues, the margin pressure also becomes bigger. So we have 30 bps consolidated pressure because S4Bio is growing and it carries a lower margin. On page 11, we see that we reached a net income of 131 million, 3.3% of net margin. So we lost 80 bps of EBITDA and 50 bps of net margin. We also highlight here non-recurring expenses. We had 2.2 million related to consulting fees to support our strategic planning. And we also did asset write-offs regarding to PharmaZero. Marcelo will talk about our new popular format strategy. We are significantly enhancing the format. This is based on a lower and on a higher sales area. And not every store can be expanded or adapted. So there are closures, and we are adjusting the write-off related to pharmacy closures. On page 12, we can see the cash generation. We had a neutral cash generation in the quarter, both in terms of free cash flow and total cash flow. And year-to-date, we have 170 million free cash flow investment and 288 million total cash flow investment. Obviously, we're comparing to 4Q17, and 4Q is always a cash peak, so any quarter suffers when compared to that. So we believe that by year-end, the cash consumption will be lower than this. But still, our leverage has remained something like 0.5, 0.6 of net revenues. It's very low, so we're very comfortable to keep investing in our growth. Finally, before passing on to Marcelo, we can discuss here our share price. So year-to-date, we had a price contraction of 20% versus an Ibovespa growth of 6.5%. So this reflects the short-term pains we are enduring. But it's great that when we look at the long term, we have, since the IPO of Drogasil, generated an annual shareholder return around 28%, and since the IPO of Raya, an annual shareholder return of 28.6%, a very consistent long-term value creation, and this is what we always seek. So I'm now passing on to Marcelo, and then I'll be back to discuss the IR activities, and then we'll be both available for Q&A. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Eugenio. Let's go to page 14, please. I'll talk a little bit about the market and the results, the SPAC results, okay? Since the beginning of this year, we know it's very difficult to talk, to compare this year with last year. Last year was the best result for the company history. And the third quarter was the best part of our lives, okay? We know that then in 2016, the end of 2016-2017, we worked very, very strong here in the company, how to reduce the expense, how to prepare the company for hard times in the future, okay? For this reason, it's very difficult to analyze the quarter when compared to last year. But it's good to talk more about the current market and the opportunity that the market can bring to the company in the medium and the long term. We have been experiencing a price reduction in generics since the beginning of this year. This creates a difficulty to grow because the average ticket is very, very slower than the last year. Not lower, it's increasing lower than inflation last year. But help a lot to grow in unique zones. This proves for us that elasticity is important in this business and can help us in consolidating this market in the business. When we stood the business in another country, we know how important the generic is in the role for the consolidation of the market. The increased generic competition, together with the large opening in stores by the competitors, led to a deterioration results of all the market, not only for us. The results in other companies will be terrible this year, and you're looking at all the numbers, okay? But this also affects our numbers, but in different way. They affect more in the when you look at the operating leverage, we lose the operating leverage when compared to last year. But even in this competitive market, we invest a lot of in pricing, and we defend our retail margin. We lost just 20 bits in the margin, but only because of the 4Bio mix effect. We use all the gains that we have in margin during this year to put more pressure in the price. Then we have gained the margin and give this gain for the customer and to be more competitive. Another point that's important to stress here is the quality of our expansion, okay? Since 2006, we have decentralized our expansion. You use the leverage of the national platform that we built. And São Paulo represents only a third of expansion. If you go to A class in São Paulo, it's just 10% of total openings. We have almost 50% of our revenues data of this year will be outside of the state of São Paulo. This is very good for us because we are more ready to open stores and to lead the consolidation of the market. We enter in Pará. We already have 16 stores in 6 cities, and you plan to reach to close to 20 stores at the end of this year and 30 next year. This may be allow us to be the second player in this important market in Brazil. The stores continue to open a great number all over Brazil, and the returns will be the same than in the past. Okay, we are planning to open 240 stores this year, and you have the guidance to open 240 stores for next year also. If you study better our business in the past, we noticed that over the time we had a market cycles. Always you have this market cycle. Heard you for a big euphoria, right? Euphoria or stress. We are now in the stress cycle, okay? If you compare our performance with your competitors, we can see the big edge in your stores difference between the result of our competition and results. And they help us in the opportunity to strengthen our competitive position and gain market share for the future. We already noticed the company started to open less new stores, and they also started to close several existing ones, which will lead over 2009 to reverse the cycle for us also. We know, we talk about the open like a or chicken fly. The people start to open stores like a craze, and you have the new stores never produce like the legacy, then a problem, the results. Try to the competition stop to open store and you keep the same pace for the future. The main driver that benefits this market remains unchanged, which is the aging of population. We believe in the end of the cycle we need to gain constant market share and to improve our results, mainly to the quality of our operation. Operations is very, very important. People is important. Decision to where open stores, taking investment, this is the drive for consolidating this market. It's not all of these things changing the market right now. Let's go to page 15 and talk about our new strategic plan. Before we enter the new strategic plan, it's important for you to understand how this works in your company, okay? Just after the integration 2013 and the beginning of 2014, we made our strategic plan. We call Projeto Norte. It's our guide for the strategy for the next 4 or 5 years in the company. The Project Norte, the first one, helped us to bring us 4 different assets that are stressed right now. The first asset is that we are a national chain. We are based in 22 states, and half our revenues are already coming from outside of São Paulo. This is very different in Brazil. If you look at the retail industry in Brazil, and the people with a national chain, they never do this by organic growth. They acquire companies. We've been in organic growth, and you know how to do this. The other asset that you have is that we have 30 million customers in our database. It's almost the database as a telecom company, okay? And we learn how to build a relationship with these customers better and better every day. The third asset is our strongest balance sheet in our industry. We have growth without leverage the company. We have growth always looking for the numbers, have growth always adding new stores in the market better than our legacy. And that is help with all the our balance sheet. And the best thing for us also, David, is over the 4 assets, we have one team, very, very good team, people that are driving this business with a clear purpose to take care of the client's health and well-being in all their life, okay? We have a best team in this industry for far if you compare with your competition. We believe that with these assets, we need to enter another grade for the company. We have to create more value for the company in the future. Then we start to, the beginning of this year, to planning the Projeto Norte 2, okay? The next strategic plan for the next 5 years. Then this is the house that you show in this slide. We call this a house, okay? Just have 3 different parts on this, but number one, goal for this plan is to improve the experience and maximize the loyalty of our customer, increasing the value for the company. This is the main purpose for this plan, okay? In order to do this, we have to put the customer in the center of our business, understand very well the customer journey. We have to work the company as not more the company like it looks. All the P&L by stores or the number for the category that you sell, you have to look in the P&L for the customers. This is the center of this business. The plan has also 5 well-defined strategic dimensions. The first one is store expansion. The other is customer acquisition, loyalty, and the omnichannel is the third one. Monetizing and health expansions. And we have how the 4 enablers to build these 5 strategies. It's a customer centricity that works with all the metrics to understand how the customers develop, help us develop this business. Number 2, digital transformation, how to work with the agile team, how to work with the best in IT items to develop the relationship with the customer, not only the customer, but how to manage the company. Leadership and talents, people, again, this is very, very important in this business. And sustainability, how is we looking for the penalty for the company for the future? How can make this company last more 200 years, okay? Today, I think it's important for us, the next page, I will stress only highlight 2 pillars of this potential plan. The first pillar is digital initiatives. We use this combination, the customer journey and the store experience, to minimize all the customer's pains to your business. We know how important to the customer use the mobile or internet to help the journey of this customer. In 3 different dimensions of customer care, from the pocket of the customers, for the time of the customer, and for the health and the well-being for the customer also. For us, it doesn't matter where the customer you make the relationship with us. in the store or in the mobile. We have to give for the customer the best experiences possible. And the very similar experience that you have in store, you have to have the same experience in the mobile or internet. Because in the end, the customer needs to a box of medicine. And this box of medicine will be leaving your stores, your 1,800 stores, or maybe more 1,000 stores, you can put in this market. The goal to do this is to increase the frequency of the customer in the stores. They are planning to use analytic advances to improve the personalization to offer better items for the customer. Offer items to can make the customers improve the adherence of the treatment for the customers. We'll do this because the customer gave their data for us and know very well the customer, and you are planning to use this better right now than in the past. We are planning to use this with agile teams and a culture of innovation, not only in the front end of the store, but also in the entire company. Then digital initiative is very, very important for us. We know this will be put the company another lever in the future, okay? The second point that I'd like to stress is increase of share in low income formats. Our expansion plan always starts in the marketing with AB customers. We know the market share that you have in the AB customers is much higher than we show for you here in the calls, okay? And naturally, you need to go to the B, 2, and C1 customers because we need to improve our new stores. In the past, we used the farmers view as a base to set the other class. The market changed since 2030, and they realized that to meet these markets, we need a bigger store with great visibility, a bigger store with HPC items, with OTC items, a bigger store with the format very similar with Drogasil and higher, stores 120, 130 square meters. Then we take the decision to upgrade the Farmazil format and to put Drogasil and higher brands to serve these customers, okay? This with a strong focus on generics, a strong focus also in price label and the promotionalization of the area. We use a light capital base and cost investment discipline, much more discipline in the investment. We are already operating this great lower tier of high-end Brazil. We have 300 stores in this lower tier. We are going to go more in this lower tier, and this format will help us to open 204 stores per year, maybe for the next 4 and 5 years. We are doing this right now, and we are very, very confident this is the right way to do this, and the farm is doing very well. From the point that I stressed, we remain very optimistic about the market we operate, and also the opportunities that the market brings for us in the long run, okay? Our past cycles have shown that companies that focus on long-term value generation are the best to take advantage of the cycles in the market. Then we continue to focus on long-term. We know that you had a golden pot in the maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and your focus is always long-term. We know that you have to put more pressure in margin right now. You do that because you know when you consolidate this market, you have better results in the future. Now, Eugenio, you think about a little bit about IR activities, and you'll be here for the question and answer. Thank you very much.
So just to start with, we have already the date for our 2018 earnings call. It will take place on February 26, 2019. And we have a very busy IR schedule set for the next month. So November 14th, we will be in New York at the Bradesco conference, represented by both Marcelo and Gabriel. On November 28th and 29th, Gabriel and myself will be here in São Paulo at the JP Morgan conference. January 7 and 8, Gabriel will be at the JP Morgan Healthcare Conference in San Francisco. And finally, January 16 to 18, Gabriel will be at the Santander Conference in Cancun. So I'm ready for your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone at this time. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press pound key. Ms. Olivia Petronino from JP Morgan would like to make a question.
Hi, good morning, Eugenio and Marcilio. Thank you for taking my follow-up question. I'd like to focus a little bit on the private label banners. You've been expanding this portfolio significantly, and now with the new format of the popular stores, this should gain a little bit of relevance in the strategy as a whole. If you could give us a little bit of guidance in terms of where do you see the penetration of private label in the total sales, and if we should increase this number in our estimates in our versus what we had before, given the new strategy for the popular banners. Thank you.
Okay, Olivia, thanks for the question. If you look at the strategy framework that Marcelo presented, I mean, private label is a very important lever for the future. We are very happy about private label. When we merged, the high-end Brazil private label was nothing. If you look this month, private label already represents 4.4% of the front store business. And we have much, much bolder goals. Our vision is to double private label penetration in the next 4 to 5 years. We as a company are devoting a completely different level of prioritization for private label. It's becoming a corporate initiative, so we'll have shared targets, not only the private label area that I lead, but also with category management, but also with retail operations. So we know this is a huge differentiating factor for the future. We launched, as you mentioned, a popular brand named Lepop, which exists specifically for the popular format. As Marcelo was mentioning, I mean, for us, taking Farmazil to the next level is a huge priority. I think we have a journey with Farmazil up to now with ups and downs, but there's a big learning in terms of operating model of how we did with Farmazil. We even incorporated that learning in something like 300 popular stores that we already have under the Raya and under the Drogazil brands. So we have in these stores a much more popular product mix, higher focus on generics, and several other elements of the Farmazil execution that helped us. And what we're doing now is we are revamping the Farmazil format and bringing it to the next level. So we are increasing the store size, which was a very big trade-off the Farmazil had, because in a smaller store is cheaper, but you don't have a full experience, you can't offer a full experience for the consumer with a format like Farmazil for only 70 square meters, and even the visibility gets compromised. So we're increasing the store size. We'll have a full offering on the front, and obviously private label will be the cornerstone of the HPC offering, and that's why we created the brand. We're still keeping all the operational elements of Farmazil, like cost discipline, lower capex, shorter working hours, and so on. But because it's a larger store, we can call it Raya or Drogazil now. We couldn't call a 70 square meter store Raya or Drogazil because it was a completely different experience. But since we are revamping the format, we maintain the base of the model, but we offer a full shop experience. We can now leverage the higher Drogazil brands, which I think will be tremendous to bring the format forward. As Marcelo mentioned, we already have 300 popular formats, and this new popular format will come even below what we have today, and it's already part of our growth starting from 2019. And as you asked, private label is an important lever here.
And I'd like to stress one thing to Eugenio Torres. We passed the private label to 2014, it's almost 0 to 4% right now. We are very happy with this number, and we know maybe we can increase that much more in the future.
Perfect, thank you.
Thank you, Olivia.
Mr. André Steves from Brasil Plural would like to make a question.
Hi, Marcelo, Eugenio, Gabriel. My first question is regarding the impact of your expansion plan in average sales per store. We have been seeing a gradual deterioration of an average revenues per store as the company continues to expand in major stores. And I want to know if you can give us a better grasp about when we will be able to see a recovery in sales per store. My second question is regarding our market share loss in São Paulo. And I want to know what's your view on other well-established competitors in the state stealing significant part of your market share in the region. Moreover, how do you think it will be to recover the lost market share? Do you think it will be hard to recover it in the measure that other competitors well-established or other competitors, small and medium competitors getting more profitized? How hard do you think it would be to recover this market share? Okay, thank you.
Okay, Andre, thank you very much. I mean, we believe a lot in the capacity that our growth strategy has had in terms of creating value for the company. I mean, if you look at the number of stores we opened over the last 5 years or even longer than that since the merger, and the fact that we were able to open these many stores with a big margin expansion, that's the evidence of the capacity that the plan has to create value, of how good the marginal returns are. Our mature store sales, nowadays, they range around 800,000 reais per store. If you look at the new stores, you're correct, they're coming slightly lower than that. They're coming something like 700,000 per store per month. But the thing is, this is an additional capacity that's coming on top of an existing company and generating scale gains. So what matters here is not necessarily that the revenue per store be absolutely flat. Is that the new stores, regardless of how much they sell, is that they create value. And they are creating value, and they help us expand long-term margins. So that's what's important. So is it an aggressive program? Yes, but it reflects the capacity that we have to create value. We don't think we are overextending. We are not doing that because of the market. We're doing that because we believe in that as a strategy to create value, and I think our historic numbers provide sufficient evidence of that. Then in terms of market share, I stress in my remarks that, yes, we lost 50 bips of share in São Paulo in terms of revenues, but in units, we're flat. So we're already fighting back. For as long as the average price is lower than the previous year, it's difficult to recover the share. But I believe that after a couple quarters, when we start looking at comparable price points, the volume growth will automatically translate in share gain. So that's important. When you look competition in São Paulo, the new entrants into São Paulo, they have not made money in São Paulo, so it's very clear. None of them. We have more than one company who tried to come here. São Paulo is the toughest market in Brazil. São Paulo is the market where we have the best players playing at home, which are Raia Drogasil and Drogaria São Paulo. So this is a huge entry barrier. And when you have a company coming from outside of the state, whose brand nobody knows, the location is not comparable to what we have and even to what Drogaria São Paulo has. The execution is not at par with us or even Drogaria São Paulo. In the end, this is a mutual strategy that brings nothing to the table. And the numbers of the companies who have insisted in this expansion, I think they talk about themselves. But what I think is very important is that because of the impact that this bad expansion has had for them, and here we have a combination of a tougher market overall with huge pains from a bad expansion on their side. If we look the last 6 months in 2017 within Abrafarma, we opened 104 stores. The rest of Abrafarma opened 270. If you look today, last 3 months, we opened 60 stores. The rest of Abrafarma opened 75 stores. So it's very clear that we already have a deceleration on their part. And I think this deceleration will further magnify as we enter next year.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Remembering, if you have a question, please press star 1. Julie Sherio from Bloomberg Intelligence would like to make a question.
Hello, thanks for taking my question. I had two of them. First, I wanted to ask if you have information on market share in generics and how it's trending. You know, as you've been getting more aggressive on price and volumes have been improving, it's still a small part of the business, one of the slowest growth segments in 3Q. But I wonder if you could share the market share info with us.
Julie, thanks for the question. Yes, we have market share data in generics, both market-wise and within Abel Pharma, which represent the largest chains. And even though we don't share the number, I can tell you that we resume growth. So we lost share in generics 2017 and beginning of 2018. But as we started reacting, the share is up. It's very up in units, and it's somewhat up in revenues already. So this points to the success of the strategy that we are undertaking.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. And my other question was, as you're seeing this shift from branded prescriptions to OTC, what does that affect in terms of average price and margin? Thanks.
Okay, so the shift accounts for 40 bps of mix increase on the side of OTC and mix loss on the side of pharmaceuticals. I don't have the specifics in terms of margin, but what I believe is that the margin is bigger because generally we have a much bigger margin on OTC. When a brand does a shift like that, starts investing in trade allowances. So I don't have the specifics with me, but I'm sure that this is a value-enhancing strategy for us. And generally, it also helps the category grow because many of these categories, I mean, they were stable, and all of a sudden you have the brands starting to advertise on TV, starting to promote the products in the store. So this is a very positive dynamic for the whole industry.
That's great. Very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Remembering, if you have a question, please press star 1. It appears to be no further questions. Now I'll return the conference back to the company for their final remarks.
Okay, first and foremost, thank you all for attending the conference. Talking about the quarter again, just to sum up, I mean, this was a challenging quarter with 80 bps margin pressure. Half the pressure is related to the comp base, to the strength of last year's quarter, and not to a weakness in this quarter, but there's another half of that that relates to the loss of operating leverage. So the margin loss is an economic one. I'd like also to stress again that even though we saw minus 3% for mature stores, there is no sequential deterioration. This is again is related to the comp base. We already see in October our numbers coming back to first quarter and second quarter levels. That's not the dream scenario yet, and it won't be the dream scenario for as long as we are comparing a lower average price now with a higher average price in the past. But in a couple of quarters, when we start looking on a comparable basis, I think the volume growth we're starting to see both in generics, which is huge, and even overall, will translate in normalization. So we're trending where we expect to be. Talking about our strategy, I mean, the whole focus for us is on the long term. And we are very fortunate to have a very stable controlling shareholder base that looks in the same way and that supports us. But not even that. We're fortunate to have a very long-term shareholder base within the free float. Our leading shareholders have all been with us since our IPO. Some of them since Rye IPO or Drogazil IPO, and I think all of them since the merger in late 2011. So, my point here is that margin is not always aligned with value creation. Sometimes the value creating strategy demands a lower short-term margin, and that's what we're doing here. We won't be, we have the highest margin in the sector. We have no intention of becoming a hostage of our own margins and to become margin myopic and do short-term things that are not the right things for the long term. So we're investing now, and I'm sure when we look 2, 3, 4 years ahead, this investment margin will pay off very handsomely. As a result of this price investment, again, the unit growth is taking place on a very solid basis, and this is the basis for the recovery that I mentioned. And finally, talking about market scenario and opportunity. We obviously feel a moderate market pressure in a market like this, but our competitors, they are bleeding. That's the right word. At least the companies that we can look at quarterly numbers, the margin pressure is huge. We have a competitor with negative margins. We have another who has fallen from 8% to less than 3%. There are regional players who used to have double-digit margin. Today, they have very, very low margin. So this environment is harming us in a moderate way, but is destroying competition. This is absolutely taking away the competitivity. This is affecting margins, this is affecting cash generation, this is affecting leverage, and even the quality of the operation, because they have to cut costs, they have to take people out of the stores. We know how the cycle works. So they become extremely vulnerable, and this is a huge opportunity for us. So in my view, the short-term challenge we have today is the foundation for an accelerated consolidation from now on and for a much better future in 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years. So finally, I'd like to thank you for attending the call, and especially I'd like to thank for our long-term shareholders for their ongoing support. We have a busy IR schedule coming forward. We'll be available to talk with you in the conferences, in roadshows, to host you when you come to Brazil, or even to the conference on the phone. So our team remain available. It's been a pleasure being in touch. Thank you very much.
Closing and disconnection.